Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. I'm glad you've joined us for today's program because with my friend James Gull, we're going to be discussing a very important topic regarding Israel. And James, you've written a book called The Coming Israel Awakening, which is a prophetic word and a prophetic insight you've had. In fact, you've had a angelic visitation regarding this. I noticed that Sid Roth has also done the foreword on your book, and I love Sid Roth.
Right.
I so
awesome,
respect
wonderful.
Him. And but anyways, God for many years has put Israel on your heart.
Yeah.
I mean, just probably from the beginning of your intercessory mandate, Israel was a big vision inside, and you have so much insight, so much revelation on it. So why don't you share with us a bit about the angelic visitation?
Okay. You know, for some reason this is touching me in a real kind of sensitive but tender place in my heart right now, because you see, in the book of Zechariah it says that he who picks up Jerusalem picks up a heavy stone. And so, hey, you know what? But Jesus is the one who said that his burdens are easy and his load is light. And so there is grace for whatever God's assignment is for you. In Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 and 7, it says that I, the Lord, I have appointed. That's an appointment.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. As for me and my house, this is one of the greatest privileges, appointments that I think anybody could have, and it definitely is for my life. It says, I have appointed watchmen on the walls who will give themselves no rest and give him no rest until Jerusalem is established as a praise in the earth. So I have carried this for, I don't know how long, for over 35 years. But I had an encounter when I was about a year and a half ago, and I was actually in bed just waiting on the Lord, resting, and the voice of the Lord came to me and he said, the winds are coming. And I'm going, oh no, okay, nice, the winds are coming, okay? And of course, you know, you think in your mind and you've meditated on scripture for a long time and you think about the wind of Pentecost and you think about the difference, what does wind mean and what does wind do? But the voice internal in my heart, it just kept being one of those tapes that kept going over and over and over. The winds are coming. The winds are coming. The winds are coming. So the next day I get on a plane and I'm flying to Long Island to go be with our mutual friend, revivalist Matt Sorger in Long Island. And so I have to go to Baltimore, Baltimore to Long Island, and a huge windstorm came. There was 160 knots an hour. That's like fierce wind. We're flying in that. And then we finally land in Baltimore, and now all the airports are grounded all up and down the entire East Coast. I had to stay all night in Baltimore. They have to change the whole conference schedule. And then the next morning, then the winds have died down. The airports are open, and I finally get there. I get there. I'm supposed to open, and I get there for only the last session. I'm there. I'm like waiting in the Lord again, trying to, you know, in my hotel room for a little bit of time that I had. And the Holy Spirit says to me again, says, the winds are coming. And I'm going, no, wait just a second. What are you talking about? The winds already came. But there's a principle. First in the natural,
and then in,
and
the,
then in the spiritual. And so knowing that, I'm going, oh, okay. So I then go into the meeting, and in worship, detailed words of knowledge started coming to me. And I started writing them down on this piece of paper, and, you know, certain people's names that came to me and how many people would be there with this name and all this kind of stuff. And it was one of the more accurate, detailed times that, that I have had for a long time. And so anyway, I'll speed it up and just say that while I felt this wind, while I'm just worshiping, I have my eyes closed, I felt this wind go by my, my face. And I'm going, okay, hello. I opened up my eyes and I'm looking around for all the air vents and I'm going, no, there's not anything. I go back into worship. I feel this wind pass by me. I open up my eyes. I'm looking around and going, did you feel that? And nobody else. And so I go back into worship. This wind passes by me. And I'm going, oh, I tuned in to the Holy Spirit. I opened up my eyes. And I wasn't trying to see something, but in an open vision, right, hovering right in front of me was an angel. Had come into the worship. Is now hovering like in... just hovering in space just right in front of me with a white satin garment on with a gold sash from the left shoulder to the right waist, and blew a shofar trumpet in my face And then written across this, on this gold sash, it said, Israel Awakening. And I was absolutely illuminated. I was illuminated with understanding. Now, again, I had prayed and I had studied the Word and I had done history and I had done prayer tours. But it was like the Lord culminated years of research, years of prayer. And it was just like, oh my gosh, something exploded on the inside of me. And I wrote this down. It's time for me to get up to speak. I get up. I did the words of knowledge and all the stuff first. And there, like I said, there will be 12, you know, Elizabeths here. Well, there were 12 Elizabeths there, and there'll be one man named Daniel. There was one man named Daniel. The Lord gave me the name of the city, where he was from, and stuff like this. And then I go, and I was like, and I start to speak, and I go, oh, by the way, there's da da da, and I start, and then Matt Sorger gets up and interrupts me while I'm speaking, and he says, I have written down something on a piece of paper. He said, the Lord told me that an angel just came into this meeting with James Gall, and the name of the angel is called Israel Awakening. And we both had it written down separately, and so it was confirmed, and so I started declaring, there's a new day coming. There's a new day coming. And the Lord is releasing not just one angel, but I believe it's a company of angels to go, one, to the body of Christ, to awaken us, at least a remnant portion of the body of Christ worldwide, to our role in this hour, in this generation, to pray and take a stand with Israel. Two, that the Jewish people in diaspora, that means those who are dispersed across the four corners of the earth in many different countries, that they will be awakened, some of them, to their Jewish identity, and they don't even know that they have a Jewish inheritance, and their blinders will come off their eyes, and they will see some of their generational inheritance, and they will begin to have a new Jesus Yeshua movement, a new Yeshua movement, where they will begin to see that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Jewish and Gentile Messiah. And the third thing, within, all of a sudden, this is just downloaded in me. I knew, I had, in fact, I have supernatural faith. You know, we each have a sphere, a measure of faith, or a gift of faith for something. You have amazing gift of faith for media. I have a gift of faith for Israel. I have a gift of faith for Israel. And I believe that there is going to be the greatest awakening in the land of Israel. And where Pentecost began, Pentecost will return to Israel. And there'll be the greatest outpouring of the Spirit that history has ever seen. It will eclipse the signs and wonders of Moses. Amen. It will eclipse the times of Simeon and Anna at the temple at the first coming of the Messiah. And there is going to be an outpouring amongst all of the descendants of Abraham, the descendants of Sarah, the descendants of Hagar, the descendants of Keturah, there is going to be a, yes, I know about wars and rumors of wars and all the political jargon and just all the difficult, I know about all those issues, but I'm telling you, in the midst of crisis, there is going to be the greatest awakening that there has ever been.
Amen. Israel is such a special place, and especially Jerusalem.
Yes,
and a couple years ago, I went and had my prayer time at the end of the year in Jerusalem. I went all by myself. I just wanted to be by myself, and I just spent day after day with the Lord. And actually, that's where our web church was birthed.
Wow.
Yeah, I went to all, you know, the different strategic places and brought the web church before the Lord and birthed that word out of Jerusalem. But one day when I was walking up the hill, I saw a vision. And it was like of the nation streaming in and coming to worship and to celebrate Jesus. And I had this sensation that I was in amongst the nations that were coming in, but it was all the nations were coming in, and we were going up the hill of Zion together, and I just I had that what we would call the spirit of faith, like what you explained earlier, that I just knew that I knew that I knew that it was called as a place of peace. It was called as a place of celebration. I mean, even though in the natural it looks like the exact opposite, but in God there's a reality. And the Lord showed me, I was in the city of David there, and I had this encounter with the Lord, and he showed me that the epicenter for authority worldwide, global authority, that all the authority, the governmental authority in the earth today is epicentered right there.
That's right.
And it was like, whoa, this is like strategic beyond measure. I know other people have seen that, you know, way before, but for me, it was like
a
real
revelation.
It was a real special time when I saw that, and I thought, no wonder people fight over that region, because in the spirit, there is a real weight of authority, of governmental authority there. So we're going to come back, James, right after this break. On the first Sunday of every month, our team hosts an evening called Experience Nights, where we experience and encounter God. He shows up in different ways every single time, and we would like you to join us in Phoenix, Arizona. The first Sunday of every month, if you're in our area, please stop by at the Grace Inn in Ahwatukee at 6:30 p.m. Look at our website for more information at xpmedia.com.
Are you called to media? XP Media's training team is available to teach you every phase of media production, from script writing to acting, editing, producing, and directing. For more information, visit xpmediatraining.com.
What is the XP Web Church?
XP Web Church is an official congregation that connects through the internet.
Each Web Church member is assigned a web pastor, and they connect through email, telephone, and our online chat room.
Weekly personal contact, teaching, relational presentations.
Exclusive web clips and MP3s are all available to web members.
Patricia King, the XP team, youth and children's pastors, and friends of the ministry all contribute to make XP Web Church a rich spiritual experience.
XP Web Church also hosts an online chat room and social network for web members only. XP Web Church is international, 24/7, on demand. We're always here, no matter where you are in the world.
Quality personal and relational pastoral care, prayer covering, as well as solid teaching on kingdom values, Bible foundations, the Holy Spirit, the glory, and the supernatural.
Join today at xpwebchurch.com.
XP Web Church, filling the earth with His glory.
James, in your book, The Coming Israel Awakening, Gazing into the Future of the Jewish People and the Church, you talk about three types of awakening. There's a gentle, and then a rude, and then a great.
Yeah.
Could you unpack that a little bit for us?
We'll sure try. See, it's parallel restoration or parallel awakening. And it's the gentle moves of God. And then to the degree that we respond to the gentle movings, the gentle wooings of the Holy Spirit. Just think about how someone meets the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, he just comes and he's loving kindness. Now, it's always loving kindness.
Sure.
But his loving kindness sure can get packaged in different ways, can't it?
Sometimes you don't realize it's loving kindness till after the fact.
Yeah, till afterwards. And it's the gentle at first. And it's just, you know, let me kiss you with the kisses of my mouth, Song of Solomon, intimacy, or you don't understand that's what it is, or it's conviction. Well, then there might be, depending upon how you respond to that. Now, I'm given this truth about individuals, about cities, but this then specifically has a ramification for the church and for Israel.
Right.
And then something else comes into play. To the degree that we did or didn't respond to the gentle wooings of the Holy Spirit, then there comes something called shakings.
Right.
Now, the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, a minor prophet, and then the writer of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament says, you know this, in the book of Haggai, everything that can be
shaken
will be
shaken,
so that that which cannot be
shaken
will remain. Amen. The unshakable kingdom. Well, this then goes over to the root awakening. Mm-hmm. So we go from the gentle and we move over into the root. In fact, the whole birthing of the nation of Israel was not a gentle thing that happened.
Right.
There was, and I go through this in this book, and a lot of people teach this, I go through the history of the Zionist movement in the late 1800s, and the whole in Switzerland, and the first Zionist Congress, of where they knew that there had to be a homeland for the Jewish people who had been dispersed for hundreds of years across the four corners of the earth. So there was the gentle movements. But then there came, some call it the fishers and the hunters, the book of Jeremiah. And then the hunters, well, that's pretty rude stuff.
Right.
And then there comes, of course, World War I, World War II. 6 million Jewish people are annihilated. I mean, it was like the book of Esther, where a whole generation of the Jewish people are about to be totally annihilated, but then God. And then the Nazi era ends, and at the birthing out of a time of shaking, of rudeness, came an awakening, came the birthing of the land of Israel.
James, but you're not saying that God set up the whole annihilation of the Jews, right? And I think we need to really make sure our viewers know that, is that there's a consequence when we're left to the consequence of our actions.
That's
sometimes
right.
God will just release his hand of grace. Like what Jesus said, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I wanted to draw you, I longed for it. That's the gentle. But he said, you wouldn't accept my love.
That's right.
So I'm just going to have to withdraw until you really want me. Well, then when we're left to our own devices and when we're left to our own stuff and consequences, then all of a sudden in the midst of the pit, we realize, hey, you know what? That God that was trying to reach me, maybe I should reach out. So so God was crying, I think, over the annihilation of the Jews, wasn't he?
Incredible. See, the book of Romans talks about, behold the goodness and the severity of God. But even the severe dealings of God are redemptive in nature. This is something we've got to always keep in our mind. God is good all the time.
Yes.
His loving kindness endures forever. And his even judgments are redemptive in nature. They're always to work ultimately towards the purpose of his good will individually.
Because he is love.
Because he's love. Mm-hmm. All the time he's love.
Mm-hmm.
And so the gentle, the rude, and the great awakening. Today, we're entering into another crisis time. I could love to take us into Psalm 83. I'll just commend it to you, to some of the listeners and viewers, just to go read Psalm 83. It's considered by many could be a period of time we're in right now, Psalm 83. But then there is the whole thing of like, how about what's going on in Iran today and the nuclear armament that is occurring? But I keep giving people warnings about Syria, and I think there's actually a stealth thing that's going on in a sense that as this whole nuclear armament begins to occur with Ahmadinejad out of Iran, I think that Syria is actually potentially right now would be even more of a threat of wanting to come in through the Golan Heights and et cetera. And it takes a long time to unpack this. But I just want to say that God will even use, it's not his first choice.
Yeah.
It's never his first choice. He will even use difficult times to shake us.
Yeah.
And he's going to use it to shake Israel so that the third movement will come, which is the greatest awakening.
The greatest awakening, and that's by the power of the Spirit. It's going to happen, I believe.
Supernatural activity, it's signs and wonders. The great awakening, the gentle, the rude, and the great awakening, it builds up to one of the greatest moves of power displays and revelatory displays of healings and signs and wonders and miracles in the land where it all started. I tell you, Jeremiah prophesies. I got some energy on me right now.
Yeah, you do.
Jeremiah prophesies that no longer will it be said, long live the Lord who brought him out of the land of Egypt, but it will be said, long live the Lord who brought him out of the land of the north and from all the nations from which I've driven them. Well, how did he bring him out of the land of Egypt? Through
signs and wonders. Yeah.
There is coming a move of God. That's why I say where Pentecost began, Pentecost shall return to the full wind, the full fire, the full manifestation of God's goodness, the full manifestation of God's power. It shall return with a raw apostolic DNA into the holy, unholy, holy land of Israel, and all of the descendants of Abraham are going to be shaken.
On.
And the blinders come off all our eyes. I tell you, off all our eyes. And it's going to be a wonder. It's going to be on CNN. CNN. It's going to be on MSNBC. It's going to be on Fox. It's going to be on broadcasts that don't even exist today. It's going to be on XP Media. Woo! It's going to be on all God TV all over the place. It's just going to be all over the world because all eyes are going to be upon Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the only city by name that we are all called by all generations, all people to pray for by name. And so I just speak in the name of Jesus and I say, Jerusalem, you shall have your greatest awakening. Jerusalem, yes, you shall be a heavy stone. But Jerusalem, I speak to you. I speak peace to you. I speak God's welfare, God's future, God's hope. And I say, Jerusalem and Israel, you shall have the greatest awakening, the greatest visitation. I speak to the Jewish people worldwide, and I say, the blinders shall come off of your eyes, and you shall behold Yeshua, Jesus, as your Messiah. There is only one way to God the Father. It is through Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And I speak, blinders come off of people's eyes. Blinders come off of Gentiles' eyes. Some of you are going, who is this raging guy right now? He was like milquetoast a while ago, and now he's like John the Baptist, a burning man, a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way, prepare the way, prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. That is what this is all
about. Woo-hoo. Wow, that was awesome.
That's what this is all about.
I know
it's
that
the coming of the Lord.
There's a lot of prophets that are saying right now that they believe that we're in the season where the season of the Gentiles, where we've received the full revelation of what God had to give to us, is over, and it's shifting over to the Jews.
That's
so I'm looking forward to seeing the manifestation of that, because that's what we're alive for. And I had a vision years ago. It was concerning the end times. I went into this trance vision, saw many things concerning the last days. One of the things was regarding Israel.
Yeah.
And God had his hand cupped over the little nation of Israel, but his other hand swept over all the nations.
Yes.
And there was a move of God in every single nation. And he deposited gifts. And so the nations were laden with gifts.
Wow.
Then they all took their gifts and they were enjoying their gifts. He took his hand off of Israel, and then all the Gentile nations with their gifts came and brought gifts to Israel. And all those gifts were to deposit into Israel in the last days. Mm-hmm. And it made me cry. I thought, God, you're giving us blessings so that we can bless Israel.
Absolutely.
And I love it. I love it. And that time is really coming. You know, I want to share just something with you, because I could feel it as James was sharing about the rude awakening of God. And, you know, God will use anything and everything that happens in your life to draw you close to him, even though he might not author it all. He authors what is pure and righteous and full of truth and integrity and goodness. He is a God of love. And everything that he authors is good, and it's in love. But sometimes the consequences of our actions produce horrific results. And you know what? God will even use that to draw you to himself. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But he found that in his affliction, he returned back to the plumb line of God's glory. God's doing that with whole nations, but he's doing it with many of you right now. And I sense in particular a certain individual that is just, you've just hit rock bottom. And this thought's come to you. Maybe people have even said, you know, God's judging you or whatever. But it's actually your own consequences that have judged you. It's like if you have, you know, the inventor of a vehicle, and he knows exactly what that vehicle's limitations are, what it can do and what it can't do. If you go violate the limitations of what it was made for, you're going to wreck the vehicle. The engine could get destroyed. The transmission could get destroyed. And it's not the inventor's fault. It's the way it was used. And some of your actions have caused consequence. But if you realign yourself unto this God of goodness, just allow this devastation that's going on in your life right now to bring you back into alignment. And as you do, something great is going to happen. Good things are going to burst out in your life. Don't try to move against the current of God's truth or his goodness. move with that current and find yourself aligned and blessed for the rest of your life.